Well, a lot has been happening in recent days, and I want to get your take on it. Was the NBA justified in fining Kobe Bryant $100,000 for using a gay slur? And what about Donald Trump claiming to be a Christian?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I'll tell you, a whole lot of stuff is happening and swirling. Some of it, I'm right in the middle of it. Some of it's happening around the country, around the world. Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire, where by God's grace, we will bring a perspective of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Talk about an upside-down world. Talk about a wild time to live. Here we are. All right, I want to throw out some questions for you that we'll be discussing. I'm going to be weighing in on a whole bunch of issues this Monday. First, for all of my Jewish friends and those that celebrate the Passover as well, Chag Sameach, happy Passover. May the Lord use this time richly to reveal his goodness and grace and the fullness of his story of redemption as Jews around the world partake of the Passover meal this week. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Time Magazine asking, cover story, is hell dead? We'll talk about that. The fine last week of Kobe Bryant, $100,000 for an offensive gay slur. Was the NBA justified in meting out that fine? Was it something overdone because of the pressures of gay activism? We'll talk about that. Donald Trump, in an interview with CBN last week, talking about his Christian faith. Oh, yeah. A few other things we'll weigh in on as well. So my first question. If you followed what happened, Kobe Bryant, one of the greatest players in the NBA, one of the highest profile figures in the NBA, volatile in terms of he plays with intensity, with emotion. He sits down after a call went against him he didn't like, gets a technical foul. He's right at the top of the league in terms of technical fouls. Those are for outbursts that are considered inappropriate, recognizes an intense, gifted player. And he uses a term, he uses two F words, the historically offensive F word and another F word that's a particular offense in the gay and lesbian community. He mutters it under his breath, but you can clearly see it, unfortunately, reading his lips. Some could hear it. And he ends up getting fined by the NBA $100,000. He apologizes immediately. He calls the head of the Human Rights Campaign, gay activist organization, Joe Salmanis, who, by the way, called me out and challenged me some years ago, which led to my debate with quote, gay Christian Harry Knox in 2008. In any case, fined $100,000. That seems like more money to you and me. That's more than a lot of us make in a year. But for Kobe, it's more of a slap on the wrist for him in terms of how much money he makes. I'm sure he doesn't like it, but he can throw that money around pretty easily with all the money he makes. Nonetheless, the NBA wanted to send a signal. He immediately apologized, and now the Lakers have said that they'll work closely with GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance, against defamation. Was this overdone? Was this reaction completely overdone? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, you can weigh in at Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, where we're having a conversation about this very subject. On the one hand, what if a white player had used the N-word to insult an African-American referee? Or what if some African-American player had used a disparaging Jewish insult to speak about someone, a referee or another player? How would we react? On the other hand, what if somebody used a word that was insulting to a Christian? The person was known as a Christian. The person, maybe the ref, was known as a strong Bible-believing Christian, and someone used a slur against him that slurred his Christian faith. Would the reaction be as extreme? Is this another example of extreme political correctness? Or is the NBA sending out a good signal saying, look, we care about people and we're not going to let our players speak in such offensive and ugly ways? And what is homophobia? Anyway, 866-34-TRUTH. What do you think? We'll weigh in on this and a whole lot more today, right here on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. We are discussing the NBA's fine on Kobe Bryant, one of the premier players in the league. He used an offensive slur. He used profanity. Okay, I didn't hear that mentioned as something he was being fined for. Perhaps it was there and I just didn't notice it in the swirl of the other thing. So he used the F word in profanity, and then he used another F word used as a slur, a gay slur, and he was fined $100,000. The Lakers, everyone saying, hey, we'll do whatever we can to work with Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. It's kind of this outrage over this. Here's my position. Then I want to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH. Online, askdrbrown.org. You can click on The Line of Fire. By all means, Kobe Bryant, any other employee of the NBA or the New York, Major League Baseball or NFL or any professional league like that, there are codes of conduct, and you're responsible. Even if you mess up off the field, you can be held responsible by the league. I understand that. And public speech, I understand that. I understand being held accountable. I understand the potential role model for kids and all those other things. No problem, no argument, no issue there that you do something. Okay. And the amount of the fine, I don't know how these things work out. It seems steep to me, given the fact it was just an outburst in the middle of a game, somewhat under his breath, whatever he said, whatever group he addressed. I agree, though, there's a fine, there's a penalty. But it seems to me that in the climate in which we live today, you can bash conservatives in the ugliest terms imaginable. You can bash followers of Jesus in the ugliest terms imaginable, and that barely gets a reaction of any kind whatsoever, of any kind whatsoever. And yet, if there is anything that's perceived as slightly offensive, potentially offensive towards the gay lesbian community, there you will be hit with the full force of the law. And to me, while I would be the first to stand up if someone was being attacked for whatever reason, if someone was being attacked because they appeared to be effeminate, that's wrong. It's just wrong. If kids are being cruel to other kids because they appear to be different, that's just wrong. All bullying is wrong. We understand that kids get picked on because they're obese. They get picked on because they're perceived to be different. They get picked on because they're smart. They get picked on because they're perceived to be gay or lesbian. I understand that. Whatever we can do as followers of Jesus to model a spirit of grace, to treat everyone gently and with respect, whether we agree or disagree, that is 100% who we should be and how we should live. But the extreme reaction and the bending over backwards and we'll work with you against defamation and is Kobe homophobic? Is he required, is a professional basketball player required to be positive on homosexuality? Is he required to say, you know, I'd be perfectly fine sharing the locker, playing side by side with a guy, showering together with a guy that I knew was gay? That wouldn't bother me in the least. Is it wrong to say, you know what, that would bother me? Does that make, he's not saying it would, I probably would, but that's just my opinion of what he'd say. But does that make you a homophobe? Does that just make you a homophobe? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Mike in Kendall, Florida. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire. Hello, Mike. Are you there?
I'm here. And
looks like
God
Mike's
bless.
Gone silent on us. Let me share something with you, and then I'm going to talk to you about Donald Trump in a moment and his claims to be Christian. 866-34-TRUTH. The word homophobia is one of the most overused words. It used in such a way that if you just say, you know, I don't think two men should marry. You're a homophobic. You know, I'm not in favor of two men having sexual romantic relations. You're a homophobic. No. Aside from this being an ill-defined word, it is so used as a tool to bludgeon people with whom you differ. So in A Queer Thing Happened to America, I have a discussion about the definition of homophobia. And if you take any issue on any level whatsoever with gay activism, homosexuality, you are a homophobe. I don't want to be a homophobe. I don't want to be a homophobe. So let's break the word down. Homophobia, right? So this is from A Queer Thing Happened to America. By the way, during the show on Friday, during the second hour, mysteriously, many of the Amazon reviews, about 13 of them that had been pulled, mysteriously reappeared because they had been pulled for no legitimate reason. 13 good reviews, perfectly good reviews, got pulled for no good reason. In the meantime, we were getting some pretty odd emails from some in customer service at Amazon, which other managers saying something's wrong here with these emails. Well, then suddenly, later in the day, five disappear again. What in the world is going on? So here, let's, homophobia, what does it actually mean? Well, I have a list of phobias in A Queer Thing Happened to America. The phobia list claims that there are 68 phobias starting with the letter A alone. Ablutophobia, fear of washing or bathing. Acrophobia, fear of itching or the insects that cause itching. Acerophobia, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, fear of sourness. Acrophobia, fear of darkness. Acousticophobia, fear of noise. Acrophobia, fear of heights. And on and on. How about this? Allurophobia, fear of cats. I'm skipping some because they're too hard to pronounce. Algophobia, fear of pain. Allium-phobia, fear of garlic. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I don't want to have any phobias. I want to be a mentally healthy person. So logic would argue that all phobias must go, and that means getting rid of homophobia, which presumably would mean, if you think it through, a persistent, irrational fear of homosexuals, homosexual activity, or homosexual situations that leads to a compelling desire to avoid homosexuals and homosexuality. That would be a proper dictionary definition of homophobia. Is that how it's used today? No. You take any issue at all. And let me say this again. I believe that Kobe needed to be held accountable for using a slur that is known to be offensive. I believe that there are any of 100 other things he could have said where he should have been held accountable. But I say there is an extreme overreaction, which is part of the political correctness today, where you can offend one group and that's perfectly fine, but you offend another group and all hell breaks loose against. All right, we've got reconnected with Mike in Kendall, Florida. What's your take, sir?
Yeah, God bless you. I love
Hello.
The, can you hear me?
If you are speaking, I cannot hear you, and I hope the problem is not on our end. Let's go to Timothy in Gaithersburg, Maryland. Welcome to the Line of Fire. Okay, it looks like I am having a problem on my phone line. Gentlemen, I cannot hear our callers. I cannot hear a syllable that they're saying. They might as well be using sign language trying to convey a message to me by phone. I do hope that you gentlemen in our engineering department can get this fixed immediately, if not sooner. Thank you. All right, stay with us. Hang in there, 866-34-TRUTH. As the phone lines are getting jammed, we will get to you shortly. I have tried to have civil public discussions about these related issues and have been boycotted, have been the debate we're supposed to have Thursday night at University of Central Florida, a civil debate with a well-spoken philosophy professor, an African-American man, on same-sex marriage, should it be legal, which is a national debate. Come on, 31 states have said no, it shouldn't. They voted. This is an ongoing debate. It's in front of the media day and night. It's a big issue in Maryland. It's a big issue in New York. It's a big issue in other states where you're listening to me. There are groups, in the name of diversity, trying to shut the debate down. Isn't that fascinating? Wow. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, before we get to the break, I was given some astounding news by our resource department today that was a little shocking. I want to pass it on to you. In the summer of 2009, we did a six-week school of cultural engagement, four nights a week, six straight weeks at Fire School of Ministry. We opened up to the public. If you paid $500 for the courses, that would have been a steal at a seminary or college level. But we opened them up and just received offerings so people could come, whether they had money or not. We then put all 6 weeks of classes. These are four nights of teaching, 6 weeks, so six times four. and a couple hours a night, we had classes of only Genesis, the basis to interpret the Bible and life by John Rankin, brilliant man. Reclaiming Godly Sexuality by Joe Dallas, according to Hank Hanegraaff, the foremost authority on this today. I taught on It's Time to Rock the Boat. Cultural Apologetics, tremendous class by Frank Turek. Separation of Church and State by Alliance Defense Attorney Joe Infranco. And then Engaging Culture, Congress, and the Media, taught by my friend Pat Mahoney. Phenomenal classes. We sell them for $125. The resource department told me to make the entire 6 weeks of classes available to you on CD for $40. That's right. That's not a typo. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978 to get the entire set of classes from the School of Cultural Engagement. That's 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, bringing a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. I'll tell you, I am shocked sometimes by how things can get right past us, that discussions can be held, and we just don't seem to register. We've kind of gone into this moral dullness where maybe we're just so flooded with media and texting and emails and surfing the net that our brains aren't functioning sharply. But every so often we need to be jarred, a bit of a wake-up call. Hopefully we can do that from time to time for you here on The Line of Fire. Everyone on the phone lines, hang in there. Be patient. 866-34-TRUTH. I will be getting to the phones in a moment. There is just a connection problem on my end where you can hear yourself, the listeners can hear you, but I can't hear you, so I can't respond to your great comments. You can weigh in online at askdrbrown.org. Askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. You know, when Scott Brown was running for Senate for a seat in Massachusetts for Ted Kennedy's former seat, and shockingly won it as a Republican, Keith Olbermann went after him in really, really strong, ugly terms, and then came on the next day and said, "Oh, I apologize. I left one out." And it was wrong. It was dead wrong. Okay, dead wrong. Yeah, he's being sensationalistic and so on. It's dead wrong. Where was the outcry? Where? And Scott Brown is hardly a conservative, committed Christian person. Where was the outcry? The national outcry, where would people say, "This is outrageous, how dare he do this?" When Christians are mocked day and night, when those who hold to conservative family values are mocked day and night and scorned, and the harshest, ugliest terms are used against them, where is the outrage? Why is it only that when one group of people is offended, and I am all for not offending, when one group of people is offended, there is the national outcry, national outrage. All right, that's one of my questions for discussion today, and we will get to your calls. But I want to get to my other issue before this half hour is out, and the next half hour we'll get a lot of your responses. Donald Trump announcing potential candidacy for president. Could he be a good president? I don't know. He could be a strong business leader, perhaps, strong in other ways. I don't know. Would I vote for Donald Trump for moral issues? Well, why would I? I mean, why have I? I've never thought of him in those terms or looked to him in those terms. But now, the amazing thing is when you're in office, it's wild. When you're in office, you have to constantly downplay your faith. Well, you know, when former President Bush speaks of Jesus Christ being his favorite philosopher, "Oh, no, he's looking for theocracy. Oh, no, he wants to take over the whole world with his end time millennial views." And this is kind of an irresponsible reaction. And yet when candidates are running, everybody's got to show how Christian they are and how church attending they are. Isn't it wild? You have to campaign as a good church-going moral person with conservative values. Then when you get in, if you hold to those values, you're vilified. It's wild, isn't it? So this is Donald Trump's interview with CBN. This is televised. This is the audio clip as they talk about his, quote, Christian faith. We'll get your take on that as well.
You talk a lot about business, obviously, but talk to me a little bit about how you see God in everything from what happened to your brother to, you know, how your life is today. Tell me a little bit about God and your views on right. God.
Well, I believe in God. I am Christian. I believe very strongly in God. I think that the Bible certainly is one of, if not, I mean, it is the book. It is the thing. I was raised, and I gave you a picture just now, and perhaps you'll use that picture. I found it from a long time ago. First Presbyterian Church of Jamaica, Queens. That's where I went to church. I'm a Protestant. I'm a Presbyterian. And, you know, I've had a good relationship with the church over the years. I think religion is a wonderful thing. I think my religion is a wonderful religion.
Mm-hmm. The Bibles. I understand a lot of people send you Bibles. Is that true?
Well, I get sent Bibles by a lot of people.
Where are all those Bibles anyhow now?
Well, actually, we keep them in a certain place, a very, very nice place. But people send me Bibles. And, you know, it's very interesting. I get so much mail. And because, like, you know, I'm in this incredible location in Manhattan, you can't keep most of the mail you get. There's no way I would ever do anything to do negative to a Bible. So what we do is we keep all of the Bibles. I would have a fear of doing something other than very positive. So actually I store them and keep them and sometimes give them away to other people. But I do get sent a lot of Bibles.
Very interesting.
And I like that. I think that's great.
Interesting. Do you actively go to church, or is that something that is more just when you can?
Right. Well, I go as much as I can, always on Christmas, always on Easter, always when there's a major occasion. And during the Sundays, I'm a Sunday church person, I'll go when I can.
All right. Would that give you confidence? Would that give you confidence that Mr. Trump is a follower of Jesus or a true Christian? Listen, I would love to see him madly in love with Jesus. I would love to see everybody madly in love with Jesus. But would that give you confidence when you ask someone about church attendance and they say, well, I always go Christmas and I always go Easter whenever I can. I go on Sunday and we get sent a lot of Bibles. We put them in a very nice place. That sounds like someone that's a nominal Christian that would think of themselves as a Christian because they were born into it. But it's just so fascinating to me that people have to posture themselves in such a way, because there's so many millions of evangelical Christian voters and others, conservative voters that identify with one Christian branch or another. And you've got to convince them that, you know, you're okay, that you're really a church-going, Bible-believing person. So I'm glad he puts the Bibles in a nice place and doesn't obviously throw them out. He wanted people to understand that. He doesn't do anything sacrilegious with the scriptures. But I personally just got a kick out of hearing that. It's like, okay, now you're church going whenever you can, but always Christmas, always Easter. I think he sent the opposite message that he was intending to send, at least to people like me. As to what his moral stands are, I really don't know in terms of many of the issues that are dear to my heart, I really don't know. All right, one last reflection, and then we will get to your calls in the second half hour. But to close out this first half hour, one closing reflection on the Time Magazine article, Is Hell Dead? Hell is no more dead than God is dead. It was Time or Newsweek a few decades ago that posted God is dead, the famous Nietzschean viewpoint. The fact of the matter is, this is little human beings. We're little, frail human beings. Yeah, a high point of God's creation, and yet little, frail human beings. All the nations of the earth aren't sufficient to be dust in the balance that God uses with which he weighs things, metaphorically speaking. So don't be troubled by all this talk. Instead, let it be an opportunity to search the scriptures afresh and tell people who are asking, yes, there is a place of eternal reward, and yes, there is a place a final, irreversible judgment. And you want to be sure that whatever you do, you inherit eternal life. You do whatever must be done through faith in the Lord Jesus, and giving your life and heart to him, to be sure that you inherit eternal life. Because friends, hell and judgment are anything but dead.
AM 1280.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire. We've got a few issues on the table right now for discussion. The NBA's fine of Kobe Bryant. Was it a good thing to do to send a clear message? Was it overdone, bowing to the political correctness and the charges of homophobia that are in the air? Donald Trump claims to be church, well, several times a year, church-going, Bible-revering Christian. What do you think of that? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. All right, we have gotten our phone connections corrected here. Mike in Kendall, Florida, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
God bless you. You know, I love that Bible verse. The way he went, he will return. And, you know, the more I go to thinkaboutthat.com, I've been with that program at WHIM, the more I think about this, as a leader, as a thought leader that you are, you know, if you think about the way he went, was he arrived on a mule and then he flagellated everybody with a horse whip, and he forced the leaders to watch him beat everybody over the back, and then he was crucified, and then he was buried, and then he came back for 40 days and did various miracles, and he ate with the apostles and walked on water. So if we meditate on the way he went, that's pretty much outburst and volatile, sir. Am I wrong, or correct me if I'm wrong on that?
Yeah, I certainly would say, number one, that Jesus never had an outburst. He never acted in human anger. He only did what he saw his Father doing. That's the first thing. The second thing is he did speak strongly and clearly and rebuked hypocrisy, and we're all for clearly speaking out. There's a difference between that and using offensive slurs that are meant to be an insult to someone, whatever the reason is. But as far as the whips,
he 15, it says to use their tongues. If they, you will speak in strange tongues. In other words, I'm not one of these Bible waving cross carrying fanatics, but I'm a lawyer. But when I, the more the past years that I've thought about this, the more the Bible makes sense to me, that he's going to come back the way he went, in a rage.
I wouldn't refer to it as okay. First thing, Romans tells us plainly in the 12th chapter, leave judgment to the Lord in terms of retaliation, in terms of vengeance. Vengeance belongs to him. Those that oppose us, we're supposed to overcome evil with good. We're supposed to have a meek and gracious response for those who oppose us. We're supposed to silence the talk of evildoers with our gracious speech.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Jesus did not strike people with a whip. He drove out the animals and overturned tables. He didn't whip people.
No, he hit everybody over the back with a whip.
Where is that recorded? Which version are you reading that from? That he hit people on the back with a whip.
I'm a Catholic and I'm a Bible researcher, and I'm telling you something. I want him to come back the way he went. That's why I'm asking you if you're the same thing on that.
He will come back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who don't know God. Okay. In the meantime, I pray for mercy. I pray for mercy on those people.
You and me. Would you agree with me he should come back the way he came? Now, let's go take the next step. If he came down in the middle of the Vietnam War, if you were like me, if you
wait,
were
wait,
flying...
Wait, Mike, hang on. How does this... Mike, hang on.
All right.
Sorry, Mike. How does this tie in with my question? Is it right for the NBA to fine Kobe Bryant? He's not a Christian. I don't believe he claims to be a born-again follower of Jesus. But how does this discussion about is Jesus coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who don't know God, how does this discussion tie in with should the NBA fine Kobe Bryant, or is there extreme political correctness in the nature of the fine? So I appreciate the conversation, Mike. I don't know how it ties in with the subject matter and my question, but thanks for calling. And please show me where it says in the Bible that Jesus beat people over the back with a whip, that he flagellated them. Please tell me the Greek, Latin, English source for that.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, just a few quick updates in case you missed it earlier in the show. There is one group in the name of Diversity trying to shut down my debate with a professor on University of Central Florida campus this week. I've been assured that the debate will go on by others involved, or that at least we'll have the room. If the debate won't go on, then I'll do a lecture about same-sex marriage and have open mic Q&A. But we face this all the time, friends, that in the name of diversity, in the name of tolerance, there is the shutting down of the fair exchange of ideas. I have had people exclude me in the name of being inclusive, refuse to dialogue in the name of diversity and fairness. I kid you not. That's why we've named our speaking campaign the Campaign for Religious Tolerance and Intellectual Diversity. We continue to have strange things going on with Amazon. Many of the good reviews that were polled for no good reason mysteriously reappeared, then some have disappeared, and some good reviews that folks have posted and notified me about have not appeared. Just a lot of interesting things going on. Friends, everything we're doing standing for truth is a spiritual battle. Everything we're doing standing to raise issues and to bring issues to the consciousness of the body and the world is fraught with spiritual battle. We must fight this in prayer. We're not fighting people. We're not angry with people. We're not trying to get back at people. There is a spiritual battle. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-3487-884. Online, askdrbrown.org. A special announcement about our School of Cultural Engagement classes from 2009 that kind of blew me away when I got a note earlier today from our resource department. I'll share that with you shortly. Let me go back to the phones. Our friend from New York, we spoke last week. Normally, I don't talk to someone again this short a period of time, but Chaplain Viviana, there's something I believe important that we need to address and focus on as we talk about fairness and what gets a reaction or not in our society today. So what's on your mind?
Well, I agree with you. There are certain groups that get targeted, and then there's this big uproar. But right now, in the Ivory Coast, there has been a shift of government to a Muslim government in the Ivory Coast. On the YouTube right now, you could put Christians being burned alive in Ivory Coast. I saw it for the first time, Michael, and my heart sank. I was a changed person on Sunday night when I saw it for the first time. Mm. And we had just had a conference about the church being the church and waking up and saying what is right and what is wrong. And if they hurt a Christian brother, if they hurt us, we have to react. You can burn a Quran, and there's things on the nightly news, and people are, you know, weighing in. But what is it? Is it open season on Christians? They are actually being burned by these Muslim radicals that have taken over the Ivory Coast.
Yeah, so you bring again the point to light that, of course, we did not celebrate the burning of the Quran and thought that it was a wrong, foolish idea, especially for the purpose of evangelizing the Muslim world. And when someone uses an offensive slur of public figure, ball player, fine, they'll be fine. But the extreme reaction and the bending over backwards to accommodate, hey, we're going to work against homophobia, you know, in the Kobe Bryant situation. And the world outrage over the burning of the Quran, where's the world outrage over the burning of Christians?
Yes.
Over the burning of human beings? It's just not there. And many people don't know about it. Certainly enough people in the media know about it. What about the...
And they're alive, Michael. They are alive. This video shows them so hurt from being beaten before they start to set them on fire, that they start instinctively climbing out of the trench, and then they beat them again and throw them back in the trench and put more brush fire, a brush on top of them, and then set it ablaze again. This is unconscionable. This is it is so mind-boggling and such an evil that we have to cry out to the president, to everyone that we know, UN, get this stopped.
Yeah, you know, the only other thing to add, Viviana, is that for many years now, I've tracked what's happening in the persecuted church around the world at our home church community. Every week we pray for one of three things. We pray for revival in the region. We pray for the salvation of Israel. And we pray for the persecuted church. We always want people to be cognizant of that. Whatever you're referring to now is a recent outrage. I'm sorry to say that such outrages, murderous, horrific treatment of our fellow brothers and sisters around the world has been very, very steady for decades now. There's not a day that goes by where there is not serious mistreatment of believers somewhere in the world. And we in the West seem to be just unaware of it and deadened to it. We must pray, and we must do what we know how to do to draw attention to this. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate
it. Thank you, Pastor.
All right. God bless. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to say this again. We as followers of Jesus should model gracious speech. We as followers of Jesus should be sure that nothing unwholesome comes out of our mouths. I am not one, to change the subject slightly, I am not one of these people who at a public Christian meeting thinks it's a great sign of liberty to get up and use some mild profanity and shock the crowd to show that I am not religious. No, to me, that's immaturity and that's irreverence. And when you're in the holy presence of God, you're not just going to exclaim something profane if you really know the Lord. We should be examples. People should be able to monitor our speech in private and say, hey, those people are exemplary. Those people live out what they talk. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We should not be offending people with ugly words. You know, someone might say, what about your book, A Queer Thing Happened to America? Oh, that's the point. The word's been a non-offensive word in mainstream America for a decade now. From Queer Eye to the Straight Guide to genderqueer term cards for elementary school students to books on queering elementary education to queer Bible commentary, queer study programs, etc. It's just, it's so widely used. I've talked to many gays and lesbians that didn't bat an eyelash at the title. Many secular people didn't bat an eyelash. That was part of the title of the book, was to draw attention to look at how things have changed. By all means, we need to be sensitive. That being said, there is an extreme overreaction, friends. I cannot get away from this reality. And I don't believe it, if it had been another group that had been offended, that the NBA would be bending over backwards and just doing everything they knew how to do. And we're going to work with GLAAD. Look, GLAAD, Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, is really the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement. GLAAD has petitioned CNN, gay-slanted CNN, to not allow the opposite viewpoint on the air. They petition them. When you bring on experts to discuss an issue like same-sex marriage or gays in the military, we don't want the other side heard, because that pollutes people's minds. That's why this extreme overreaction to placate a group that really is against disagreement with its ideology, period. Lynn in Houston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
I'm in total agreement with you. I believe that if there had been somebody black, I don't believe I don't believe that would have happened. The attention that the gay group, the apology and all that. I just believe if it was somebody black or somebody of something other else, it wouldn't happen. But my thing is, I tell you this every time I call, I'm really upset with the church, because we're not standing up for nothing. Nothing. You know, and we're just like sleeping, you know, in the church, letting all this stuff happen. Like the woman talking about the Christian that's being burnt. I don't hear any Christians talking about that. You know, and I don't know. I just don't see no way that we're going to win this thing, because the gays are dead set on what they believe in, and they do all they can to hold and let people know what they're believing in and what they're willing to do, and what length they're willing to go. And we're just sitting there.
You know, Lynn, I did a lecture a few years ago, what the church can learn from the gay and lesbian community. If you talk to someone that identifies as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, this is their life. Not gay activism is their life, but being who they are, that to them is their life. And we are attacking their very existence, and we are attacking what they perceive as their rights, and we are attacking what they perceive fundamental equality. And what I said in this lecture was, not only are gays and lesbians out and proud and putting many professing Christians to shame about being out and proud, but they don't go to a gay meeting once a week. This is how they identify. This is who they are. And we will not win any spiritual battles, excuse me, or see God's purposes advance just by attending a service once a week. Hey, got to run. Thanks for calling, Lynn. Listen, friends, I announced this earlier in the show. It is not a mistake. This is not a typo I'm reading. Our entire 6 weeks of classes are a school of cultural engagement with phenomenal classes on separation of church and state and cultural apologetics, and it's time to rock the boat and regaining sexual purity by some phenomenal teachers. 6 weeks, four nights a week. If we sold it for $500 for the privilege of taking the class, it'd be great. We normally sell the entire six CD series with all on MP3 for $125. Our resource department said make it available today, all 6 weeks, four nights, 6 weeks, for $40. Yeah. Call this number, 1-800-278-9978. This will really equip you. I'll tell you more about it on the other side of the break.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. We've been talking about a few issues. Kobe Bryant is fine with the NBA. I also brought up Donald Trump now professing his Christianity and your take on that. So I want to get to some of the Donald Trump calls you've been holding for a while. Try to get to some more Kobe calls as well. Right before the break, I was mentioning that I was a bit shocked when I got an email this morning from our resource department saying make available today our 6 weeks of School of Cultural Engagement classes. I teach at seminaries. I know the value of these classes. We brought in some of the top faculty, professors, apologists, theologians, you name it, lawyers, to teach for 6 weeks on critically important issues to the body, sexual purity, separation of church and state, time to rock the boat, cultural apologetics. All 6 week classes, four nights a week for 6 weeks, are available for just $40 for the total, not for each, for all of them together. But you need to call this number now to take advantage of this special offer. It's not a mistake. 1-800-278-9978. Nor is it hype. 1-800-278-9978. Okay, to the Donald Trump calls. Jim in Danbury, Connecticut. What is your take
on Donald Trump? Yes, thanks. I understand what he's describing himself as a Christian. I think many fellows that are Catholic or belong to churches and not very active, I think they describe themselves as being good Christians. I don't think they are faking it when they say that, but they're not, you know, exactly born again, but they may be on the way to that. And just Trump saying those things shows that he's not trying to embellish his Christianity. I mean, to say you go on special occasions, you know what I mean?
All right, okay. That's an interesting take. In my mind, he doesn't realize how this sounds to a CBN audience, an evangelical Christian audience for the most part, that would say, huh, that's your Christianity? Doesn't talk about relationship with God, doesn't talk about knowing Jesus, doesn't talk about reading the Word daily. But your take is he's giving an honest answer. All right, hey, thank you, Jim. I appreciate that.
May I add something to that?
Sure.
Yeah, and that would be, he's pro-life, you know. And so he's saying he has something strong going for himself. And I really think that he's on the way to being just a much better Christian. And it's like the Lord is drawing him. That's the way I look at it.
Hey, Jim, that would be
announcing things like that not too far into the future.
All right, that would be wonderful to see. Thank you for calling and for that perspective, Jim. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Gyro, North Miami, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, hi. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Thank you for taking my call. I just want to say that, you know, under our Constitution, Donald Trump has the right to run for the presidency, and he's going to try to spend all his money to try to get there because it takes a lot of money nowadays to win the presidency. And I say more power to him. But I do say that this is just the signs of the time that we're getting movie stars to become the elected officials and past wrestlers.
How about Ronald Reagan? He was a movie star, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of humor in what he's done. But I think that it's troublesome for me to hear you, you know, pass judgment on his one conversation with somebody, and already, you know, start giving them a litmus test, a grade level, A or B or C, whether he would be a good president or not.
I didn't say whether he'd be a good president.
Really problematic in our culture today.
Yeah, but Jarrah, I didn't say whether he would be a good president or not. I said I didn't know.
You were just talking about.
I said.
Jarrah. Going to church.
You know, that's the problem, that some people don't listen to what I say, and it's hard to listen if we're talking at the same time. So, here's the deal. I said, I question his level of Christian commitment based on what he said, that does not sound to me like someone who really knows the Lord, but someone who was raised in Christianity, and that's what they understand of it. I was quite explicit that I didn't know what kind of a president he would make. Quite explicit. I was simply asking you, as a follower of Jesus, hearing what he had to say, how that impressed you. And to me, it left me with questions. I thought it was a great take from Jim of Danbury that he wasn't trying to embellish it or make himself something that he wasn't. To me, it spoke volumes in terms of what he was. Maybe he'd be the greatest president we ever had. Who knows? Or maybe he'll never even run. But I made it clear. I don't know about that. I was simply assessing the comments that he made as to whether he's Christian or not based on that. Okay, let's go to Maxine in Asbury Park, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
God bless you, sir. I'll make this quick. While, yes, it is very extreme to jump all over someone's case like they did Kobe Bryant. Yes, he was wrong to make those remarks, but I think that it's just indicative of our state today. I think that we wouldn't have these extremes if at the beginning of America, the founding forefathers would have truly practiced loving God with all that they are, then their neighbor as their self. Whatsoever they'd have men do unto them, they would do to whatsoever you'd have men do unto you, do also to them. If that would have been the beginning of America and it would have been practiced consistently today, you wouldn't have the mess that we're in now. People are becoming sort of ballistic over racism, homosexuality. You know, everybody has a right, and we're all straining to be socially correct. God is the only one who can give a balance to it all, but it was never practiced in America in the first place. So now you have all the extreme, the other side of the gamut. We're trying to fix something without God's word. That's why this is happening. That's my take.
All right. Hey, Maxine, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. Certainly, there are positive things in our past that we can look back to and appreciate, certainly. And certainly, there are things in our past that we deeply regret and should be ashamed of. I'm talking about as Americans. The question is, how do we move forward? I want to make it as clear as I can one last time, that we as followers of Jesus should model gracious, careful speech. When I take issue with someone, with something, I do my best to do it precisely and with clarity. I do my best to lay out where the differences are and why without bashing the humanity of that other person or using terms that intentionally would inflame them. At the same time, there is an extreme gay-slanted political correctness that is seeking to silence freedom of speech, freedom of conscience. If you don't believe it, get my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and read the chapter Big Brother is Watching. If you read that chapter alone is worth the entire price of the book. Go to Amazon.com, get a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America, read the chapter Big Brother is Watching. That chapter alone will be one of the most eye-opening things you have ever read. Our entire 6 weeks School of Cultural Engagement, 6 weeks, four nights of classes for 6 weeks with some of the top lecturers, teachers in America, normally sells for $125, which is an unbelievably good deal. You can get them all 6 weeks, for just $40 by calling 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, at one and the same time, we must be gracious and fearless. At one and the same time, we must balance grace and truth. At one and the same time, we must be models of civility and models of courage. In Jesus, it can be done. He is our example. Change the world. Change the world. a lot has been happening in recent days, and I want to get your take on it. Was the NBA justified in fining Kobe Bryant $100,000 for using a gay slur? And what about Donald Trump claiming to be a Christian?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So, Time Magazine cover story is asking, is hell dead? The NBA is now going to work very carefully with Los Angeles Lakers and Kobe Bryant to fight against homophobia. Donald Trump is speaking of his Christian faith. Oh, a whole lot more going on. Welcome to the Line of Fire. We're going to take up all these different issues today for our Jewish listening friends. Chag Pesach Sameach. Happy Passover to other Christians participating in Passover celebration memorial this week. Happy Passover to you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook is the great place to weigh in, especially on the Kobe question. Was the NBA justified in fining him the way they did? Was it overdone? Is it good to set an example like that, or is the NBA bowing to extreme political correctness? A little later in the show, I'll be playing a clip from Donald Trump as he speaks about his Christian faith and giving you my take on that as well. Okay, just a few comments first before I get into the Kobe situation from last week and the Donald Trump quotes as well. Just a couple of reflections. I'm not in the least troubled by Time Magazine saying is hell dead. When you're talking about a little publication by a little group of human beings on a little planet called Earth in the midst of a vast universe created by an infinitely vaster God. All flesh is grass. Isaiah the 40th chapter, Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words won't pass away. The grass fades, the flower withers. Or the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Isaiah 40, Matthew 24. So truth is truth. It was Time or Newsweek years ago that proclaimed God is dead on a front cover. You see what's happened since then in terms of the hundreds of millions of people that have come to know him and believe in him and recognize him. I don't mind the discussion taking place. It's another symptom. It is another sign of the hour in which we live, of compromise of Scripture and departing from foundations. But by all means, let's have the conversation, and let's just quote Scripture. Let's just agree, hey, we'll just quote what the Bible says about hell, judgment, rejecting Jesus, the consequences thereof. Let's just do that, and let the chips fall where they may. As I've said repeatedly, the fate of those who reject Jesus, the fate is dreadful, eternal, and irreversible. That much is totally clear to me from Scripture. And the forfeiting of eternal life and being with him together forever and ever and ever, being with the Lord forever and ever, is the most dreadful part of it to me. One other word is, as we talk about issues of judgment, there were some terrible storms across America this weekend. Many hitting in North Carolina, where some of you are actually listening. In fact, you may have lost someone close to you. You may have lost a loved one, or you may have read the newspaper about an area that got hit, and you know the people involved. You know the community. You know what it reminds me of, friends? With all the talk about when is Jesus coming back and being prepared for the rapture, the second coming, or whatever your end time theology is, we know that every generation waiting for that up until now has been wrong in their speculation that he's coming within their lifetimes. At the same time, we know that every generation has lived up till now has died, and some suddenly, and many completely unexpectedly. Doesn't it make more sense to be ready to meet God at any time with the potential of death than it makes sense to be ready to be raptured out of here at any moment? I mean, the one thing is certain, we all will die and stand before him. Jesus returning in our lifetimes is a matter of debate. So let's live in readiness always, to be in the presence of God, to leave what we're doing and to go into the presence of God. Let's live with that type of readiness and anticipation. Back with more.
blazing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. Okay, some updates for you. You know, this Thursday, if you've been listening, I'm scheduled to have a debate with Professor Eric Small. He is an African-American man. He is a professor of philosophy. He is an advocate of same-sex marriage and, quote, LGBT rights. I say that just as a specific phrase, and hence the quotes, and other sub-issues to debate there, but I won't get into that. Anyway, there is one campus group in particular, in the name of diversity, trying to get the debate shut down. Even in threatening terms, trying to get it shut down. This is what we deal with, friends. This is what happens with freedom of speech. This is why I've named my speaking tour in association with the publication of A Queer Thing Happened to America. That's why I have named it the Campaign for Religious Tolerance and Intellectual Diversity, to expose the intolerance that's out there towards religious people, in particular followers of Jesus, to expose the intellectual lack of diversity that's out there. My way or the highway is pretty much the way it is these days. You do it the politically correct way or you're out. There is no discussion. So continue to pray with us. If the other debate participant feels not to go along with it, then by all means, we'll have an open mic Q&A after a lecture that I'll deliver. But a debate is really preferable so people can hear both sides from qualified representatives. Amazing. Isn't this amazing? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. So my take on the Kobe Bryant issue is simply this. Yes, he is an employee of the NBA, and as such, there is a code of conduct he has to live by, in particular when he's on court. You know, guys in the past got into fights and were suspended for a whole year in some cases. You know, fights on the court or other outbursts cost them, they get fined. That's just the way the leagues, the professional leagues operate, and they have to. And these guys make enough money. I mean, I wouldn't like to be fined $100,000. It's more than many of us earn in a year. But these athletes making tens of millions a year, it's a slap on the wrist. They don't like it, but they can pretty easily pay that out without batting an eyelash. Yeah, it's good to hold someone accountable. Kobe, in the midst of an angry outburst, an intense competitor, highly gifted athlete, in the midst of an intense angry outburst, said under his breath about an official there. He used two F words, the first one profanity, the second one a gay slur. I didn't hear a lot of talk about the profanity. If the NBA jumped on that, I didn't hear that. That to me would be offensive, and I surely wouldn't want a kid watching that game or listening to hear that stuff and then get the profane vocabulary in there either, profanities either. I didn't hear a lot about that part, though. But I did hear a tremendous outrage about the gay slur. Now, it was wrong to use, and there needs to be greater sensitivity, and we need to understand how people are demeaned and mocked and live with this for years, and how it can open up a wound and a sore when someone publicly uses this. I understand that. On the flip side, I say that this is a massive bowing down to the political correctness of the hour, calling the head of the Human Rights Campaign, the world's largest gay activist organization, Joe Solomides, and apologizing directly to him. And then the Lakers saying they'll work with GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, it's really the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement. They'll work carefully with them against homophobia. Why did this become a matter of homophobia? Somebody gets mad, they have an outburst. Why is this now a matter of homophobia? And what exactly is homophobia? Is it not an irrational fear of homosexuals and homosexuality? Isn't that, if you want to get a dictionary definition of the word? I get into that in A Queer Thing Happened to America at some length in terms of, okay, what exactly is homophobia? Look at how this word is misused and just thrown around as a weapon. So to me, yes, fine him. To me, it's overdone. To me, there's an extreme reaction. And the same people to whom Kobe is apologizing, the Human Rights Campaign and Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, they don't want the other side hurt. They don't want the other side hurt. And they will have no problem publicly referring to you and me, if we say, you know, marriage is the union of a man and woman, to call us anti-gay extremists. And where are they raising their voices when you and I get called Hitlers and jihadists and members of the KKK? Where are they raising their voice on that score? 866-34-TRUTH. As for Donald Trump, I'm not his judge or jury. I don't know the man personally, obviously. I don't know a lot of his personal stands on issues. Of course, he's wildly famous as a financier, as a businessman, as an entrepreneur, now as a TV personality as well. But because he's talking about running for president, you obviously have to appeal to the evangelical Christian vote because it's so many tens of millions of people. And many of them are politically motivated in terms of they want to see the society go a certain way. They have certain moral values. They're going to vote accordingly. So I always find it fascinating that during the political season, everyone running has to show how Christian they are, how church attending they are, how much they believe the Bible. But then if they emphasize those things once they're in office, they alienate a lot of people. Oh, no, are you trying to argue for a theocracy? So these are Mr. Trump's comments about his Christian faith in a recent CBN interview.
You talk a lot about business, obviously, but talk to me a little bit about how you see God, in everything from what happened to your brother to, you know, how your life is today. Tell me a little bit about God and your views on right. God.
Well, I believe in God. I am Christian. I believe very strongly in God. I think that the Bible certainly is one of, if not, I mean, it is the book. It is the thing. I was raised, and I gave you a picture just now, and perhaps you'll use that picture. I found it from a long time ago. First Presbyterian Church of Jamaica, Queens. That's where I went to church. I'm a Protestant. I'm a Presbyterian. And, you know, I've had a good relationship with the church over the years. I think religion is a wonderful thing. I think my religion is a wonderful religion.
Mm-hmm. The Bibles. I understand a lot of people send you Bibles. Is that true?
Well, I get sent Bibles by a lot of people.
Where are all those Bibles anyhow now?
Well, actually, we keep them in a certain place, a very, very nice place. But people send me Bibles. And, you know, it's very interesting. I get so much mail. And because, like, you know, I'm in this incredible location in Manhattan, you can't keep most of the mail you get. There's no way I would ever do anything to do negative to a Bible. So what we do is we keep all of the Bibles. I would have a fear of doing something other than very positive. So actually I store them and keep them and sometimes give them away to other people. But I do get sent a lot of Bibles.
Very interesting.
And I like that. I think that's great.
Interesting. Do you actively go to church, or is that something that is more just when you can?
Right. Well, I go as much as I can, always on Christmas, always on Easter, always when there's a major occasion. And during the Sundays, I'm a Sunday church person, I'll go when I can.
All right. I listened to that take, and I thought, okay, he may think that he is impressing an evangelical Christian audience with these comments. To me, that would be saying I'm a nominal Christian. I'm a God-fearing person. I believe in God. I believe in Christianity. I believe the Bible is a very important book. I attend church when I can, but I'm mainly a Sunday Christian. If I can make it on a Sunday, but always Christmas, Easter, to me that would be basically a nominal Christian or someone who perceives himself to be a Christian that doesn't know that there's more to being a follower of Jesus, that there's more to being a born-again person in real relationship with God. Now, it's interesting. I didn't get to all the callers last hour when I brought this up, but some were upset with me for taking issue. There's one I never got to. I wanted to. I was eager to hear what he had to say, but ran out of time. But he was very upset. Felt I was bashing Trump. And another caller had an interesting take that he wasn't trying to misrepresent himself. In other words, he didn't say, I get up in the morning and I spend 2 hours in prayer and then 2 hours reading the Word, and I share my faith whenever I can, and I'm in 3 Bible studies a week, and I never miss Sunday, and I haven't in the last 30 years. He was not trying to paint a false picture, and perhaps it's a man who's going in the right direction. When you hear that, we're not his judge and jury, but since it's a public interview, when you hear that, what are you hearing? Are you hearing someone that you say, yeah, that's how I was before I truly came to know the Lord? Is that how it sounds to you? Or do you say, no, that's someone who seems to have Christian values and strong values? Someone called to talk about him being pro-life. I don't know a lot of his moral stands. If he ran for president, I'd be sure to find out about it. But when I heard that, to me, it had the opposite effect. Now, can I address one thing? I found out a few years ago when Mr. Obama was running for president, when he was then Senator Obama, when I took issue with some of his moral stands, first point I made was a point differing with John McCain on something he said. Then another show I took issue with Mr. Obama. And I started getting people calling saying, why do you have to bring up race? And I said, what are you talking about bringing up race? They said, you're always bashing Obama. I said, well, actually, no. I only talked about him a few times. But it had nothing to do with race. It had to do with issues. Are you going to tell me now, some of you that still harbor that in the back of your mind, that I was somehow taking a racial issue, maybe I'm going after Mr. Trump because he's white? A white male? Doesn't work, does it? See, the issues to me are the issues. Skin color is not the issue. Ethnic origin is not the issue. The issues are the issues, and that's what we will focus on here on the Line of Fire. Okay, we'll be back to discuss this, and I'm going to read you some shocking comments that went by in our politically correct scene, barely with a blink. Contrast that with the reaction to Kobe when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to talk for a moment about the intolerance of diversity. The idea that we have a society now that wants to be very careful, very civil, not insulting anyone. Well, no, what really happens is some groups get specially singled out for protection. Some groups get specially singled out against wrong treatment, and other groups are now targets without a problem. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Finally, with some time now to address the finding of Kobe Bryant last week for using an offensive gay slur. Again, I don't justify it. It's wrong. I'm glad he apologized. To the extent that we can model proper speech as followers of Jesus, we need to be very careful not to use terms that are known to be offensive to any group. There's no reason to drive people off in that way. And I'm careful in words that I use, when I use them, how I use them for certain purposes. The reason I wrote A Queer Thing Happened to America with that title was because that word in the gay and lesbian community in mainstream America has no longer been an offensive word. That was part of the use of the title. It said, look at what has happened. This is different. This is odd. And this is, in terms of the transformation, can best be called queer. And as I've told you many times, I own the Queer Bible Commentary. I own books, Religion is a Queer Thing. I own books called Queer in Christ. I own books called Queering Elementary Education. I have the lesson guides for elementary school children on using terms like genderqueer and things like that. So, and queer study programs in colleges. So the word is out there being widely used in such a way, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy generation, that it's no longer offensive. It has been, quote, redeemed by the gay community, hence my use of it. If it was offensive, I wouldn't have used it. But listen to this. This is gay journalist Charles Weinkauf. Listen to what he said. Because gay is no longer taboo in America, the community has shifted its focus from supporting difference to espousing a blanket leftist agenda, in essence, suppressing diversity and driving many of its own into a new conservative closet. Isn't that fascinating? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online askdrbrown.org. Any of you read the Manhattan Declaration? It was as graciously written a Christian document holding to our fundamental values of life and marriage and family, as graciously written a document as you'll find. And what happened? Apple, because of protests by gay activists, pulls the app from iTunes. Pulls the Manhattan Declaration app despite tens of thousands of signatures. It still has not been reinstated. I may have said hundreds of thousands of signatures at one point. That's certainly how many signed to be part of the Manhattan Declaration, but at least tens of thousands wrote to Apple and said, have this reinstated. It has still not been reinstated. And what does GLAAD say? GLAAD, this is the organization that Kobe Bryant and the Los Angeles Lakers are working with to say that we combat homophobia, we are against homophobia. And by the way, if a male basketball player would be uncomfortable taking showers and having the intimate kind of friendship that two men would have in the midst of a basketball season or baseball, whatever it was, or football, a professional athlete said, I am uncomfortable with an openly gay teammate, that's not homophobia to me. That's perfectly normal, perfectly natural. It's another thing that they said, oh, if that person gets near me, I'm going to catch something. Or I've got this irrational fear of but to say, hey, I don't want to be in certain situations, that makes perfect sense to me. Just like they wouldn't want to be in certain situations with the opposite sex. But what does GLAAD say about the pulling of the Manhattan Declaration? What does GLAAD say? Are they for civility? Are they for human rights for all parties? No. This is what they said. Let's send a strong message to Apple. This is the original website that's supporting homophobia. You find one homophobic word for me in the Manhattan Declaration. Find me one homophobic word. You can't. Supporting homophobia and efforts to restrict choice, meaning the right to abortion, is bad business. Okay? This is what GLAAD said. Apple's action sent a powerful message that the company stands against intolerance. No, what Apple did was the model of intolerance. What Apple did was intolerance personified. This is GLAAD, Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, really Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement. Apple's action sent a powerful message that the company stands against intolerance. Join GLAAD in thanking Apple for their action to remove the app and urging them to stay strong in the face of anti-gay activism. Read that and much more in A Queer Thing Happened to America, where still bogus things are happening on Amazon. Many of the good reviews polled reappeared, then some disappeared again. New ones written have not appeared. It's extraordinary to just watch this, how diversity and tolerance become the code words for exclusive intolerance. That's what we're dealing with. Greg in Lakeland, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello. Yeah, I had a comment about the word homophobia.
Yes, sir.
And everything. To call someone, to say that they're homophobia, says that they fear homosexuality. I think they need to come up with another word for it, because I don't fear homosexuality. I don't care how gay someone is around me. I'm not going to catch it from them. There needs to be a word that just expresses my dislike for their behavior. I had this discussion with my Facebook friends one time before and lost several friends on Facebook because they supported homosexuality where I was against it. You know, it's to dislike something. The big argument that they put up is that homosexuality isn't a choice, but I believe that homosexual behavior is.
Greg, your point is well taken. Whether it's a choice or not, the issue is, why are you homophobic to say that a man should marry a woman, not another man? Why are you homophobic to say God didn't design our bodies to have sex with the same gender? Why is it homophobic to say I think it's best for a kid to be raised by mom and dad as opposed to mom and mom or dad and dad? There's nothing homophobic about it, but the word is used as a bludgeon, as a tool to hammer us. And Greg, you're exactly right. I take this up in A Queer Thing Happened to America. I have a chapter called Lavender Language, Gender Speak, and Queer Semantics. And I go through a list of all kinds of phobias. I mean, I don't want to have phobias. You don't want to have phobias, right? So homophobia, I don't want to have homophobia. So what it would mean, technically, homophobia would mean a persistent, irrational fear of homosexuals, homosexual activity, or homosexual situations that leads to a compelling desire to avoid homosexuals and homosexuality. That would be, friends, a definition of homophobia. So, Greg, continue to speak the truth in love. Yeah, people will reject you for it, but that comes with the turf. You be gracious, overcome insult with grace, and keep moving forward, man. Here's what homophobia would look like. The person afflicted with electrophobia suffers from a persistent irrational fear of chickens, and the person afflicted with allium-phobia suffers from a persistent irrational fear of garlic. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing these phobias here. So if someone suffered from these two phobias and homophobia, they would have irrational fears that would sound something like this. Keep those chickens and that garlic away from me, and don't let those homosexuals come within a mile of my house. I don't want to get infected. That would be homophobia. That would be irrational, ugly, and that would be something to get rid of. But that's not what homophobia means. If you don't affirm same-sex marriage, teaching about same-sex households in elementary schools, and embracing diversity in the workplace, you're a homophobe, an intolerant bigot. Someone responded to an interview I did with Tom Hartman and said to me, you're either a very sick individual or evil to the core. Why? Because I said the Bible doesn't affirm homosexual practice. Amazing, but not surprising. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, while our society talks about tolerance, there is an individual representing a group standing for so-called diversity on the University of Central Florida campus that does not want a public debate to be held there between yours truly and a qualified and, from what I understand, well-spoken professor on same-sex marriage. Should it be legal? The stifling of tolerance, the stifling of diversity, the stifling of the free exchange of ideas, friends, that's what we are dealing with. I am not exaggerating. And that's why we need a moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Welcome to the Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Weigh in online, askdrbrown.org. So, Kobe Bryant being fined $100,000 by the NBA for his use of an offensive gay slur, and then doing everything he can with the NBA to call the right people, to make apologies, to say, hey, we're going to work with GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. We're going to be much more sensitive in this area. We're not going to be partners with homophobia. What does this have to do with homophobia? It has to do with an athlete speaking out of turn, saying something. Look, he used the F word, profanity, before the F word, the gay slur. He's mad. He shouldn't have done it. I'm sure hundreds of things are said through the year that are inappropriate. They don't get this kind of reaction. Why? Because this is the one thing that has become the hypersensitive issue of the day. So when Scott Brown is running for the late Senator Kennedy's seat in Massachusetts, and Keith Olbermann goes after him on MSNBC in a quote that is so over the top attacking him that I can't read it on the air. It goes too far, and I know a lot of folks pick up kids from school during the show and things like that, so I'm just not going. I always weigh what to say and not to say with that in mind, but obviously I have to cover certain things. But it goes so far that I couldn't even repeat it on the air. He then gets on the next day, Keith Olbermann, and says that he apologizes. He apologizes because he left something out and attacks yet again. Was it wrong? Of course it's wrong. But where is the outcry? Where did he lose his job over this? Where it didn't happen. In fact, he probably became a hero to a lot of people. And yet, can you imagine? Can you imagine if say, Bill O'Reilly or Sean Hannity or Glenn Beck, conservative hosts, had said one fraction of those words about, say, a gay organization or gay individual, what the outcry would have been? It's the double standards that concern me, friends. It's right to bash one group. It's right to attack one group. But anyone else, fair game, especially if they're conservative followers of Jesus. 866-34-TRUTH. Do you disagree with me? Do you think I am overdoing it? Listen to what jurist and author Marvin Frankl said. The powerless call out for tolerance. Achieving power, they may soon forget. That's what I see all the time, that those who have been beaten down, those who have been maligned, those who have suffered a lot growing up, to whom my heart goes out, as they come into a position of power and influence, tolerance becomes now a weapon of intolerance for them. Political sensitivity becomes a way to bash others, and it goes on and on and on, to the point that April 9th, 2009 article in the Washington Post by Jacqueline Salmon said that faith organizations are and individuals who view homosexuality as sinful and refuse to provide services to gay people are losing a growing number of legal battles that they are saying are costing them their religious freedom. We're even dealing just with free speech on Amazon for people who write good reviews without violating guidelines for those not to be pulled. And sadly, even though many were restored last week, some are still being pulled. Others are not being posted. Something funny going on, friends. And you know what we're going to do? The light is going to shine and expose. And we're going to bring truth to light. And truth will triumph. Back with your calls on the other side of the break.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I've looked at the Keith Oldman quote again, and I can go ahead and read this. This is January 18, 2010, against Massachusetts Republican candidate for Senate Scott Brown. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. This is what Olbermann said on his national TV show. So this is not a fit of anger, saying something under his breath to an NBA referee as Kobe did. It was inappropriate. It was wrong. It's good he got fined. But to me, the reaction was completely overdoing it. So this is what he said, Keith Olbermann, about Republican candidate Scott Brown. In short, in Scott Brown, we have an irresponsible, homophobic, racist, reactionary, ex-nude model, teabagging supporter of violence against women. This is what he actually said. And the next day, he offered an apology for leaving out the word sexist and for failing to mention another derogatory story about Brown. Now, where was the national reaction against this? How much was Olbermann fined for those comments? How quickly was his job threatened? What groups did he call to apologize to? Do you understand the massive double standard we're dealing with here? A few years ago, Love One Out, when I was speaking with the Love One Out conferences that are now hosted by Exodus International, but were then hosted by Focus on the Family, helping people with unwanted same-sex attractions or family members with unwanted same-sex attractions. When I was speaking about some of the social, political issues involved with this as well, there was an event that was going to be held in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And at this event, there was going to, gay activists said, hey, we're going to hold something the Friday before, this is a Saturday, or I guess the Thursday before, we're going to hold an event and we're going to have a public forum here, and we're going to give a presentation against Love One Out, and we're going to have a presentation that no one can change. People can't come out of homosexuality. Then we're going to have a panel discussion with five people. Well, the whole thing was slanted, so it was only the position bashing Love One Out. And this is a state-funded university. So together with Focus on the Family, we generated 10,000 emails to the university saying on the panel discussion, have Dr. Brown on there so you at least have one out of five voices. Remember, there's an hour presentation bashing our position first, then a panel discussion with five people. Allow one of the five voices to have a differing viewpoint. They refused. This is a state-funded university. They refused. And the department at the front line of refusing was the department dealing with equality and diversity. Equality and diversity are now clubs that are being used against anyone that differs with the goals of gay activism. There is no justification for using an insensitive slur, okay? But it is telling you, wake up and see the handwriting on the wall. Penny in High Point, thanks for calling. All right, we lost Penny there. Rochelle in Jacksonville, thanks for calling. Lost Rochelle, too. Guys, you're not hanging up on our callers, are you? You wouldn't do that to them, would you? You know, I got a call in the first hour, concerned Christian leader talking about the slaughtering of Christians in Ivory Coast with new radical Muslim leaders, Christians being beaten and burned alive. And, you know, pointed out that there's the world outrage when a Quran is burned. And, you know, that I differed with that. I felt it was an unwise thing to do. It would not help with evangelism and would potentially endanger people's lives, as Pastor Terry Jones burned the Quran a couple of weeks ago. But there's the outrage and the president and military leaders nationally get involved and speak out. Religious leaders speak out for the burning of the Quran, and somehow compare it morally to the Islamic reaction of Islamic fanatics in Afghanistan who then just slaughtered UN workers and others, even fellow Muslims they slaughtered. They compared the two acts. To me, there's no possible moral comparison between the two. One was unwise and unnecessarily provocative. The other was murder in cold blood. But there's the outcry over that. There is within the states the outrage that Kobe Bryant in the heat of a game could use a gay slur with profanity as well, but you don't hear the outrage about the profanity. I wonder what the outrage would have been if it was some well-known Christian referee. Let's say there was one and he called him a Bible-bashing bigot, what the reaction would have been. I'm curious to see. But this much we know. Christians being burned alive by Muslim radicals in Ivory Coast, according to this report from last hour. Where do you even hear about that? Where's any kind of outrage? You can burn a Quran, there's outrage. Burn a Christian, don't even hear about it. We need awakening, friends. We need awakening. The good news is a lot of people are recognizing, okay, something's up, something's wrong, something's out of hand, and we need to wake up. All right, let's try to reconnect with Penny in High Point. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I wanted to tell you, frankly, the Christians are being persecuted. In the town I live in, actually, the city council actually voted that if one of their members who's a Christian to call on, they cannot pray in Jesus' name. And they even, there was a Baptist pastor even on their panel, and they kind of even got him where he wouldn't do the vote where perhaps it couldn't go. And I substituted teachers in one town. I sort of hate to say this, but anyhow, it was in a middle school, and they showed a movie to all the kids that showed two teachers that appeared, two women teachers who appeared to be homosexuals, and this then showed a student having daydreams about, romantic daydreams about the teacher, and see, you know, they lived together, and one would drive the other to school and all that. About all the details of it, frankly, the one teacher asked this student and all, you know, if she'd be a different person or anything wrong or whatever, you know, if what they were saying were true. And the issue was never actually discussed. Yes, they were, but all the things led to it. And I called the library and told, I think it was shown through the library to all the grades, and I said, you know, if that were showed to my child, I would be offended. And I am sure that if there were a film trying to get anyone to accept Christ or anything religious thing, that that would not go. And there are several things. It was really after that. I don't remember if it was one more assignment or what that I had. But anyhow, it really kind of appeared to be a bad situation I was put in. And I kind of feel like I was pushed out of that. And there was a course about in college about different things affects drugs on your dick. But anyhow, in there it said that homosexuality was listed in the Psychiatric Book of Disorders, and it was a group of influential homosexuals that had it removed. And concerning this city council movement for them trying to and voting where you cannot Christian.
Yeah, Penny. Let me just jump in. What happened in '73 was the American Psychiatric Association removed homosexuality as a disorder. There were a lot of gay activist protests. There was a lot of pressure that was put on psychiatrists involved.
Yeah.
Some of them then said they reevaluated, looked at things, and came to different conclusions. So it was politically charged. There was some scientific discussion, but it was hotly politically charged. But the larger point, Penny, is that especially with the concept of separation of church and state, it would be considered wrong for a Christian to try to get a religious viewpoint taught in the school, but for gay activists to try to get a moral viewpoint taught in the school, or to say that there can be no moral objection to homosexual practice, that's where the dividing line is coming, and that's where the conversation is only going, unfortunately, in one direction. But hey Penny, thanks for calling us, and continue to stand for what's right within the school system. Can I just recommend a resource to you? This is not a typo on the resource sheet I was sent today. I was a little shocked to see it, but and no hype in this announcement. I'm thrilled that we can do this, actually. Not sure how, but I'm thrilled we can do it. In 2009, we had 6 weeks of classes at Fire School of Ministry open to the general public 4 nights a week for 6 weeks called the School of Cultural Engagement. I brought in a lead attorney with the Alliance Defense Fund to straighten out the story of separation of church and state. I brought in a Joe Dallas, a top spokesman on sexual issues, to teach on sexual purity. Frank Turek, a local professor and lecturer, phenomenal on apologetics. He taught on cultural apologetics. I taught on It's Time to Rock the Boat. We had another brilliant thinker teaching on Genesis as the foundation for life, and then another brilliant speaker on engaging Congress and culture and media. All 6 weeks, if you paid $500 to take all the courses at a seminary or college somewhere, it would be a fair price, but we offer all of them, all 6 weeks on CDs, all on MP3 that you can listen to in any number of settings, with study guides and all that for $125. Well, I was told today by our resource department to offer all 6 weeks of the School of Cultural Engagement for $40. It's not a mistake. $40. You'll be wonderfully equipped and helped with this. Here's the number to call. Got to order this today. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Ask for the School of Cultural Engagement. You will not regret it. Back with your calls.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So here we set up a debate with a qualified professor, University of Central Florida, discussing same-sex marriage. Should it be legal? And there are attempts to shut the debate down, cancel it. One way or another, we'll either have the debate or a lecture with open mic Q&A following. But it is amazing what people do in the name of tolerance and diversity. I have never seen so much intolerance, so much lack of diversity, so much exclusivity in the name of inclusivity in my life until we've dealt with these issues that we focused on in the book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. So pray with us that the debate will happen, that people will be able to hear both sides of the discussion in a civil, mutually respectful way, and that it will be eye-opening for students on campus, as well as a great tool to further talk about the issues and ultimately about Jesus. 866-34-TRUTH, getting your take on the finding of Kobe Bryant by the NBA, getting your take on Donald Trump's profession of Christianity. We're not his judge and jury. We're just discussing how these things struck you. Let's first go to Michael in Jacksonville, Florida. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire. Hello?
Yes, hello.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I had a few comments about Kobe Bryant. And first of all, I want to say I run a sports company here in Jacksonville called Outlaw Sports Radio. And my point is, if this comment had not come from Kobe Bryant, would have it have been a bigger deal, or was it just because of the fact that the comment came from Kobe Bryant?
Well, certainly the fact that he's Kobe, he's as famous as he is, that's going to draw more attention to what he says. But I think the NBA would have come down hard on anyone who used that particular slur because it's so politically incorrect these days. That's my take. Sounds like we may have lost our friend there. All right, Mark in Clearwater, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. According to Hebrews 12:15, it warns about the root of bitterness where many be defiled. I believe that's in our judicial system, our school system, our media. And then in Ezekiel 44:23, it refers to a warning of the profane, that we're able as believers to teach God's people the difference between the holy and the profane and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. So my perspective is, if you're going to attack and pull down a stronghold that the enemy is raising up, and obviously there's a lot of gay pride involved in that stronghold, you would call the community a profane community. Unclean community, a defiled community, instead of even showing them the respect of what they want to hear. You know, they want their ears tickled. And I think that we're standing strong on the truth when we speak the truth in love.
So, Mark, just to be clear, to make sure I understand you, are you saying that that it's justified to use slurs like Kobe did because this is a profane community? Or are you saying that it's wrong to speak in those ways, yet we must hold our moral ground according to the scriptures nonetheless?
I believe the second part of your comment was what I would agree with. I'm not interested in a slandering or engaging childishness, which the other side is engaged in. If you're involved in making provision for the flesh, that's not perfect love. That's not even according to 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a man, it says I put away childish things. So if they want to hold on to the addiction of lust, selfishness, being lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, then you've got to deal with children in a loving way and admonish them. And
got
I'm
it.
Saying when you call the truth, and it, and their actions are profane, you're not doing that to provoke them to anger, but you're doing that in love so that they can hear a warning.
Right. I appreciate that, Mark. And many Christians, sadly, because of abusive speech from others, because of the ugly God hates fags stuff of the Fred Phelps in the world, because of the fact that you'll hear the latest heartbreaking story about a gay kid committing suicide, and you'll be told, well, someone told him about the Bible the day before, and he was depressed because hearing that all the time, committed suicide. So we'll often draw away from speaking the truth. We must, on the one hand, be consistent. We must be consistent and address what Scripture addresses consistently. So all forms of sexual immorality, everything that breaks down the family, no-fault divorce, other issues, pornography, adultery, and the heterosexual world. We need to address these things clearly and plainly at the same time that we do not draw back from addressing homosexual practices, and especially when we are being inundated in our schools and through the media and in other ways, in the workplace, and politically, with the opposite message. Rochelle in Jacksonville, we're a little short on time, but I did want to get to your call.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, I wanted to briefly speak on, you know, how you said before, the Christians and the conservatives were now getting treated like the oppressed, and the homosexual community is now the oppressor. I understand that completely, because that's exactly what happens. When you try to speak the truth to someone, when you try to speak God to them, they automatically shut down and say, I don't believe in him because he doesn't care about me, or this and this and this, and then we're now treated badly. I learned that when we want to share the gospel with people, if we would first apologize on behalf of the Christians that are going out, you know, bashing the homosexual community, they're more open to listen. I actually found a blog. It's called An Individual Attempt to Change the World. And it's people on there just pouring out their hearts and apologies, saying, you know, I'm sorry that you got treated this way by Christians. That's not perfect love. Here's what is perfect love.
Yes.
Perfect love is remembering that we were saved. We were once sinners, and Christ died for us. And now we want to show that same love to you. And I
Absolutely.
Think that if Christians would just take that standpoint and say, I'm sorry for what's going on. I'm sorry for what's been happening to you. I'm sorry that you've been treated like you weren't a person, because all of
yes.
us were exactly who you are. And all of us have been redeemed who call ourselves now Christians, instead of pointing down fingers and saying condemnation,
yeah.
because no one wants to listen to that.
You're right. Hey, Rochelle, I've just got to jump in, but I absolutely affirm what you're saying. And sadly, a lot of wrong has been done in Jesus' name. Let's take responsibility for it, even if we didn't do it. And let's offer apology. I've often told Gentile believers, when Jewish people raise what so-called Christians did to the Jewish people throughout history, that's a wonderful time to renounce it, apologize for it, and show genuine love. The same way that to homosexuals who have been mistreated by the church in different ways, in ways we all agree is mistreatment, let's apologize for that. And then absolutely, Rochelle, let us demonstrate genuine love. Remember, the 6-week classes, School of Cultural Engagement, all together for just $40. That's like 80% off the normal price. Call us at 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. And my bottom line is this. Perfect love does cast out fear. Love never fails. And Jesus is the perfect example of that never-failing love. Surely, if we follow in his footsteps, we will win people into the kingdom of God.